Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Keith.
And I'm Tina, and we want to welcome you to Evanston Avenue this morning.
We're glad you're here with us, and while our ushers are coming down to collect the offering, we have a few things we want to share with you.
Whether it's your first time here or you've been here for ages, there's a place for you here at Evanston.
That's right, and with more info on how you can get connected, here's Daniel.
Hi. I'm Daniel, and I want to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue. For our kids and teens, we meet at 6 o'clock on Sundays here at the church. Teens head upstairs for Hype with Miss Joy, and the kids head downstairs for Bible Times Club with Mr. Darren. For our adults, we have our men's and women's dinners and our life groups. You want to talk to Pastor Matt, Jeremy, or Jonathan for details. We're going to head out to a Rend Collective concert on April 13th. So if you're interested, talk to Jeremy for details. We currently have a lot of service opportunities available, everything from nursery and Sunday school to worship and VBS. So wherever you feel called, we have a position available for you here at Evanston.
You know, Keith, I was looking at the bulletin, and there's some really important information in there.
Oh, I know. And when I want to get to know what's going on at the church, I always check that bulletin. And when I want to get in touch with the church, I can fill out that handy connection card.
That's right. I use that card all the time to let the church know when I need prayer or would like someone to contact me.
Well, that's just perfect. So why don't you fill that one out, and you can leave it on our pew or at the soundboard when you're done. And you can do that too. Or if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar connection form on our website.
That's not all. The website is full of helpful information and resources.
We do post some pretty interesting articles and links there a couple times a week, so you're definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but first there are a few more things to share with you.
That's right. Remember, if your last name starts with the letters N through Z, today is your picture day.
Today's our day? Olivia! Olivia, where are you?
Babe, they're doing it after church. Settle down. Oh. We won't miss it. Well, tonight at 5 p.m., we'll be having our MAPS community prayer event at the Holiday Inn downtown.
So if you thought you missed it, fear not. It was just rescheduled. Make sure you come out for a night of prayer with other area churches.
Also, for our youth, don't forget that the dates for camp are out.
That's right. For the 9th through 12th graders, camp is July 1st through the 6th. And for the 3rd through 8th graders, camp is August 19th through the 24th.
So if you'd like to attend, make sure you register in the church office. And don't forget, if you register this month, there's a discount. All right, well, that should do it for announcements, so everyone can grab a pen and take out their Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt finishing our series Unsung with his sermon on unknown saints.
Here's Pastor Matt.
All right. Well, good morning, good morning. As our ushers come forward, we're going to pray for our offering. We're going to spend some time in God's Word, so if you want to grab a Bible, we're going to be in the book of Acts. It's in the New Testament. But let's come before the Lord in prayer first, and then we'll dig into this together. So, Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for the opportunity that we have just to gather in your presence. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear your word, to worship your name, to fellowship with one another. We thank you for all the work that you're doing in our lives. And Father, we just ask that you receive these offerings in the spirit with which they were given. Father, please use them to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. Father, as we turn our attention to your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just enliven our hearts, that we may be transformed from who we are today into who you wish us to be tomorrow. Father, as the pastor, I simply ask that my words fall to the ground, and I ask that your words endure forever and change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, gentlemen. A couple of quick things I'd like to highlight by way of announcements for you guys. First of all, at 5 p.m. at the Holiday Inn, if you missed it in the video, there is a prayer. It's a community prayer service. I think we have 13 or 14 different churches across denominational lines, across racial and ethnic lines. The one common factor that we have is that every church that will be there, every pastor that will be involved, all claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's just a way for us as the united body of Christ to come together and pray for our city. Here's what's encouraging to me. Our county prosecutor, he actually has gone public and on record by saying that the, and I know the news can present a different picture, but the violent crime rates in Muskegon County have been steadily trending downward for the last 3 years, which is awesome. But when one of our elected officials in a non-election year stands up and says, that's because the churches have been praying, that's impressive to me. And so we as the body of Christ, we want to continue to pray for our community, to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ of different traditions and denominations and ethnic groups and say the one thing we have in common is Jesus. Let's pray together for our community. So 5 p.m., that is coming up. So please join us. It's at the Holiday Inn downtown. It's the big one, not the Shoreline, with the roundabout. It was also the Hyatt once, I guess, I've been told. Okay, moving on. Let's dive into God's Word this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I had asked our life groups a question of who do you look up to? Who is a hero of faith? Who is somebody whose journey with Jesus made an impact in your life? And I don't know how all of us would answer that question. You know, it's always fun to hear that. It's fun to hear, you know, who was it that spoke into your life if you are a believer in Jesus Christ? Because for all of us, we tend to have somebody that God has placed in our lives who we kind of look to them and say, that's the kind of person, that's the kind of man of faith or woman of faith that I would like to be. And we start looking at them and we realize that just the way that God used them in our life was extremely powerful and impacting. And as I look at that and I look at the people, I've been blessed to have a number of men who have kind of been in those roles in my life. The men of faith that get to speak into my life and have helped me become the man of faith that I am today. And God continues to bring more godly men into my life because I know my journey is far from over. I still have things that God continues to change and to work on in my life. And I love that. And I look at the opportunities that I've had, as limited as they've been, just to speak into the lives of others. And it's exciting to see how God will use us. And I think for all of us, our hope, our desire as people of faith is not just to have a faith that works for me or works for you. And that's kind of what the world tells us. The world tells us that's great you're a Christian. It's great you go to a Baptist church. It's great you're whatever. That works for you, fine. Just go do it. But I think for all of us, as we gather here in the name of Jesus Christ, what we desire, what we hope for, is to be the people that make an impact in the world around us, that the world, the people in our lives, are more like Jesus than they were before they met us. That's my hope. That's my hope for us as a church, is that as people encounter us into the world, that they can come away from us being a little bit more like Jesus, that we could have that kind of an impact on their faith. And we've spent this few couple of weeks going through parts of the book of Acts because we want to look at just the ordinary, everyday people that God uses to radically shape the world. And I said it last week, if you missed it, I'll say it again. The people that we see in Scripture are incredibly ordinary, except for Jesus. But for everybody else, they're just men and women just like me and you who are following Jesus Christ and trying to make a difference in their life. So we've talked about Philip, we've talked about Stephen, and now we want to talk about question mark. I want you to join me here, Acts chapter 11, and you'll see why I'm saying question mark. The book of Acts, if you're unfamiliar with it while you're turning pages, is ultimately a story of how the followers of Jesus continued on in his mission to talk about it, to share the message. Miraculous things have occurred, and people keep believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So this is the story of that. And we're going to dive in. We're going to start in verse 19. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Let me stop right there. If you missed it, if you weren't here when we talked about Stephen, Stephen was one of these guys. He was a Greek-speaking Jewish believer in Jesus Christ, and he was one of seven men who was appointed to help take care of the widows and to help basically serve as a deacon in the church and minister to the church. And he was the first person in the church after Jesus ascended into heaven. He was the first person who was executed for his faith. He's what we call a martyr. And after he was martyred for his faith, other Christians began to be persecuted in part by a guy named Saul, who was one of the Jewish religious leaders. And they would literally find people who believe in Jesus, and they would give them the choice, renounce Jesus, walk away from Jesus, or die. And some people renounced their faith. Some people said, no, I'd rather die. But as that persecution spread, the Christians started to leave Jerusalem. And here we see that they started to go to these other places, like Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And they were telling the message to only the Jews. Now let me jump in here for just a second, because as we are looking at being people, ordinary people with extraordinary faith, I have at least four things I want you to grab out of this passage we're going to be reading. And the first one is this, that there are two kinds of outreach that we can be doing as followers of Jesus Christ. There's two kinds of outreach, and we see the first one here. The first one is to the people who are just like us. Because if you notice, they were Jewish Christians who were going out to all these different places telling the message only to Jews. Now, I want you to look at this because I want you to see very clearly that they're not rebuked for this. This is not presented as a bad thing that they were talking to Jews. They were Jewish folks talking to Jewish people. It's not a bad thing. But this was the outreach to people who were just like them. And as I was thinking about that and reflecting on that, I look at myself and I look at the categories that I fit into. I'm a straight, white, Christian, male, upper middle class. I'm a husband and a father. That's kind of some of the big categories that I fit in. And here's what I have to tell you about that. Other people who fit in those categories need to know about Jesus. Amen? And that's what we see here, is the Jewish folk went out and they were speaking only to Jewish folks, and that's okay because they needed to hear about Jesus too. The people who are just like me-ish, they need to know about Jesus too. Okay, so there's no condemnation for reaching people like us anywhere in Scripture. But I also want you to see this in verse 20. It says, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because for the most part, Christianity at that point was a Jewish faith. Jesus was a Jew, and then the Jewish Christians were speaking also to Jews. But then all of a sudden we see this first time when some people said, you know what, we have to very intentionally go out and speak to Greeks. We need to speak to Gentiles, to non-Jewish people. And what I love about this passage, this is what I love. We have no idea who they are. Did you notice that? It says that in verse 20. Some guys, some men from Cyprus. We don't even know their names. And I love that. Because it's just some random guys who said, you know what we need to do? We're talking to the Jews here in Antioch. We should talk to the non-Jews. Mind blown. And so suddenly they reach across cultural and ethnic lines and start talking to Gentiles about Jesus. So there's two kinds of outreach, my friends. There's the outreach to the people just like me, and there's the outreach to the people who aren't like me. And guess what? They both need Jesus. So if you're sitting here like, you know, because you'll hear me talk a lot about how we have to reach our neighborhood, we have to reach people who aren't always like us, that's true. But if all you can reach is the people who are just like you, reach them too, amen? Everybody needs to hear about Jesus. The people who are like us and the people who are not like us, everyone needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. But check out what happens next in verse 21. Look at this. This is referring to the guys who we don't know, these unknown saints who went to the Gentiles in Antioch. And in verse 21 it says, "The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." Amen! I don't know what happened to the guys, to the people who were reaching the Jews. I assume they had good ministry, but something extraordinary happened when these ordinary unknown saints stepped across the racial and cultural lines and said, "I want the people who are not like me to know about Jesus too." And all of a sudden, they started getting saved. Tons of them started coming to faith. And I know as we read this, we think we have found the secret sauce here. I think we found the mystery ingredient. Because look at verse 21 again. It says, "The Lord's hand was with them." So let's talk a little bit about this thing called the hand of God. Because I don't know how you read this passage, but I read this passage and say, that's what we need to do. We need to get God to put his hand behind what we're doing. And then it'll be unstoppable. And I agree. If the Lord's hand is with us, nothing will stop us. Because the hand of God means this. The hand of God, and this is a volcano exploding. And I love it whenever we talk about the hand of God or the power of God. At least my mind always goes to a demonstration of power. Because if you go through Scripture and you search for this phrase called the hand of God or God's hand or anything like that, you will see it always refers to God's power accomplishing his will. God's power accomplishing his will. The hand of God means his power is doing something that God wants done. Oftentimes, referring to creation. When God made this world, the Scripture says he made this world, like he fashioned it with his hands. So the hand of God is his power accomplishing his will. And we're sitting here thinking, how do I get that to happen? How can we have the same experience as the church in Antioch, where the hand of God is with us? Because, amen, that would be awesome. And so I started doing some digging, and here's what I found in Isaiah. Check this out. This is the Lord speaking. "My hand made all these things." Again, a reference to God's power making all of the created order that we now dwell in. "And so they all came into being." This is the Lord's declaration. Check this out. "I will look favorably on this kind of person, one who is humble, submissive in spirit, and trembles at my word." And as I started looking at more and more passages about what does the hand of God mean, God's power accomplishing his will, and the connection is always to people who fit this category: humble, submissive, and trembling at his word. I want to bring you to one other place. So if you want to turn a couple pages to the right in your Bible, let's take a look at James 4, and we see this same idea communicated in the New Testament as well. James chapter 4, James being one of the brothers of Jesus who got saved. In James chapter 4, verse 6, we read these words. Give you just a second to get there. If you have a Bible, I want you to be able to see this with us too. "But he," referring to God, "he gives us more grace. This is why Scripture says he opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." So we see this idea again of being humble before God. Verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves to God, then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom." And check this out. "Humble yourselves before God and he will lift you up." And that seems so contrary to how we as human beings normally function. Because what this passage is saying, what Isaiah is saying, is that there's this connection between God's mighty hand at work and me being humble and submissive to him. I struggle with that. Because my tendency, our tendency as humans, is usually to say, "Here's my great idea, now how do I get God on board with that?" My great idea, how do I get God? It doesn't work that way. And I'm a guy who likes to come up with great ideas. But that's pride. The pride says, I will figure this out. I have to do it myself. And hopefully God will bless it. No! Humility is just the opposite. Humility says, I'm going to be on my knees. I'm going to be on my knees. I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to say to God, yes, Lord. Now tell me what you want. My friends, we will never get anywhere as a church without that spirit at the core of our being. Yes, we're going to think, we're going to plan, we're going to do all the stuff that God is inspiring us to do, but at the core of it all, we have to have the spirit that says, yes, Lord, I am submitted to you. Now tell me what you want, and I will go. And I can only assume, I can only imagine that the men who first spoke to the Gentiles in Antioch had that kind of attitude, that they were humble and submissive men. And here's why I think that. We don't even know who they are. We can't even give them the high five when we get to heaven because we don't know who they are. There was no credit given there. Just men from Cyprus and Cyrene. We don't even know how many. 2, 10, I don't know. They were just humbly following where God was leading them, and God was leading them to step outside of the Jewish community and say, the other people need Jesus too. And all of a sudden, the hand of God was with them. They couldn't predict it. They couldn't call God and say, yo, God, come with me. I'm going to do something awesome, and you need to back me up. They just said, I'm going to go where God leads. And suddenly, the hand of God was with them. And the world changed. The world changed. Jump back with me to Acts chapter 16. We've got to read the rest of this. Because we know already. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 11. I'm getting ahead of myself. Wow, sorry. Acts chapter 11. We already know that the hand of God was with them and tons of people were getting saved. More and more people, Gentiles, were getting saved. And so here's the reaction that we have is that the news of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent, this is verse 22, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. My friends, wouldn't that be so cool? We have Easter coming up when that is the day most likely when people who don't go to church will come to church. We'll be packed. I hope we're packed. Okay, that's up to you guys. Invite some folks, okay? Amen? Okay, so we're going to be packed. Wouldn't it be great if every guest, every person who walked out of here said, man, I just see God's grace. I don't even know what that means. But just to be blown away by God's grace at work in our fellowship. That's what Barnabas walks into. Like, God's grace is doing amazing things here. I love that. He was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to God with all their hearts. And then goes on to give us a little backstory about Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought. So more people got saved. This is so cool. These are the people who are completely opposite of the Jewish faith, and they're coming to relationship in Jesus Christ, and they sent Barnabas there, and more people keep getting saved. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Now, because we skipped from chapter 8 to here, if you're unfamiliar with Scripture, that should slam on the brakes just a little bit. Because the whole reason there was persecution, the whole reason for them leaving Jerusalem was because of Saul. Because he was persecuting them, because he was dragging Christians off to jail. And what we skipped over, what we missed from chapter 9, is that Saul got saved. And he goes off to Tarsus for a while to learn more about Jesus. And Barnabas goes to get him. Barnabas says, this guy, the one who used to kill Christians, that's the one we need. Go get that guy. What? And I love that because here's the other principle we need to grab out of this. My friends, if we really want to follow God, if we really want to submit ourselves and be humble and say, Lord, lead us. Bring us to the places you want us to go. Bring us to the people who are like us. Bring us to the people who are different from us. My friends, it will absolutely turn your faith upside down. And all of a sudden, the people who are the enemies of God are now the proponents of God. The people who were not good enough to be Christians or to be part of God's family are sitting at the head table. That's what God's faith, or that's what God's work in our life does. It turns things upside down. And I know, I think I've shared this with you guys before, but for the benefits who haven't heard it, in a previous church, we had a very unique woman who worked for our church. She was our secretary for a while. She was really sweet, you know, blonde hair, blue-eyed, had some scarring on her hands and on her body from being burned. And I was coming into this church, you don't really know it, you know, it's like, oh, she must have been burned badly. And she was. 60% of her body had been covered in burns while she was fleeing from the police. Kind of messes with your mind. This really, really sweet homemaker, you know, she was actually in Chicago for a time called the Plain Jane Bandit. She robbed 5 banks. And while she was fleeing from the police after the 5th and what turned out to be final bank robbery, she got into a horrible car accident. A car pulled out in front with a young mom. Bam! And this gal's whole van burst into flames. That's the last thing she remembers other than being in the ambulance cold because they covered her with the burn jelly. And she could hear a detective saying, please try to keep her alive because she's going to be in a lot of trouble and she's got to stand trial. She did. She survived, obviously. She went to jail for about 5 years because of bank robbery. And now she's back in our church. That in and of itself is a cool and amazing story of grace and redemption. What I love is that the woman that she hit started attending our church too. How would you respond? And she has back pain to this day because of that. Her kids could have been in the car. Thank God they weren't. But if the woman who slams into you while she was fleeing from the police showed up at this church, what would your reaction be? Her reaction was awesome. It was, I want to have lunch with you. Because you are my sister in Christ. And I'm up here preaching at our last church, and I about lose it, because I'm, you know, you guys notice I wander, and so I'm over on this side, and all of a sudden I see our friend, Sherry, who was the impact victim of the accident, holding her baby, the gal who hit her. Because she came back to our church, her name's Val, she's awesome. She came back to our church, got remarried, had a couple of kids while we were there. And so I see our friend Sherry holding Val's baby, and the baby starts to cry. So I watch this woman who had been hit by a car, driven by the other woman, give the baby back to the woman because they were sisters in Christ. And I had to go back over here because I'm losing it, going, nobody else knew the story at that time. But only God does stuff like that. We're two people who should hate each other. Our sisters in Christ, and they're passing the kid back and forth. Like, mom, it's the mom thing I don't fully understand. That's a God thing. And God says the people who are far from him are the ones that he wants to bring close. Those are the people, the messed up people are the ones he wants to lift up and say, look! Look at this trophy of grace! Look at the person who was so messed up that the world abandoned them. This is who God wants to hold up and say, look what God can do. Look at Saul, the person who was killing Christians, is now the biggest apostle and disciple and missionary for the cause of Christ. That turns the world upside down. Ordinary people living an extraordinary faith every day. The world changed. Because of it. Let's keep going because there's some other good stuff in here. So Barnabas went to Tarsus, verse 25, to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Listen to this part. I love this. This is just kind of thrown in there just for the fun of it. The disciples were first called Christians. In Antioch. They were the first smeared ones. See, my friends, as we stand up in the world and we say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, we are claiming a derogatory nickname. Little Christ. It was not meant to be a compliment. Because in the Greek, if you translate Christ, it means anointed one. That's how we understand it because of our Jewish understanding of what anointing meant. But to the people in Antioch, it just meant someone who's smeared. That's it. Somebody with stuff smeared all over their face. And so what a bunch of little smeared ones. That's what they were saying about the followers of Christ. They say they're smeared with this Jesus blood. I don't even know what that means. They're weird. I love that. Yeah, that's me. I'm the one who has the blood of Jesus on me. That makes no sense to the world. Why do you want blood on you? I don't want blood. I want his blood. That makes no sense. I know. His blood washed away all the impurities in my life. All of the sin, all of the junk is taken away forever. And that's the message that was spreading through Antioch like wildfire. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. Let's have it. Let's be smeared all over with it. Let's be that person. Let's be covered with Jesus Christ all over the place. So my friends, as we're rounding the bend, this was kind of a short little series. This is the last message in this series of Unsung. Ordinary people living an extraordinary faith. And here's the really cool part. The extraordinary faith is just faith. It's just faith. It's just the people doing the things that God has called them to do. It was a group of men who said, you know what, I think God wants us to share Jesus with this group. And the hand of God was with them, and the message exploded like wildfire. They didn't know that that was going to happen. They were just humble, submissive people. And my friends, we have the opportunity to be that humble and submissive person and to share the faith with someone else. And so I want to give you the opportunity to do that because we do have Easter coming up. And Easter, my friends, is the day when most people will come, yes. But it's also the day when we present to them the most important thing we've got. The hope of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. The hope of the resurrection. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge us as a church to be the ordinary people living in extraordinary faith. And I want you to do one very simple thing. I want you to make an invitation. That's it. I want you to make an invitation. Would you please come to church with me on Easter? Now it can be the people who are just like you. For some of you, that's probably your family. My wife cringes because my sons are entirely too much like me. John made a joke last night while we were watching a movie and Becky's rolling her eyes saying, your father made the exact same joke at the exact same place when he saw this movie. I'm like, yes, DNA is awesome. For some of you, that may be who you're inviting, the people who literally are just like you, little mini-me versions. For some of you, it's going to be to find the person who is nothing like you, but you happen to see them every day at work or every day at school or every day when you see your neighbor and there they are. But I challenge you, Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, to be the ordinary people living extraordinary faith and do this one simple thing, which is to do an invitation to say, come to church with us. I want you to hear the message that makes the most difference in my life. And we even printed up those little cards for you. There's some on the back. I think you can grab them. If you need some, let me know. Just a very simple way to give somebody the service information and give it to them. I was asked what the images mean. Very simple. Manger, cross, crown. Jesus was born, died, rose again. Simple. That's it. I challenge you, Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, make the invitation to come to church on Easter. And hey, if they can't make it to Easter, good news. We've got like 51 other Sundays they can check out. There's more than one option here, folks, but make the invitation. Love people enough to say, come, check us out. That's my challenge to you. Be an ordinary person with an extraordinary faith. Let's pray. Well, Father, as we love you and praise you, as we try to live our lives in step with your Holy Spirit, Father, I lift us up as a congregation, and Lord, I just pray in advance of those conversations, Lord. I pray and ask, Lord, would you please bring into our lives the people that you would have us to invite, the people who look like us, the people who don't look like us. Father, whomever we encounter, would you please give us the chance to invite them to come and hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask that lives be transformed. We ask that the world be reshaped by a whole bunch of people who have been smeared with the blood of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would turn our world and our faith upside down by the power of your Holy Spirit. And that at the end, Lord, I ask that you receive the glory for yourself, because we know that it is you who changes hearts. It is you who gives new life. And so, Father, we just thank you for the privilege of helping in that process. So we pray that in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Well, my friends, we're going to invite you, as always. We're going to spend a few moments in worshiping and singing. And again, I just want to give you the invitation that if you have anything you want to pray about, if you have any questions, if you're sitting here saying, you know what, I don't really know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to be right up front. You're welcome to come up and chat with me while the music is playing. I'd love to pray with you, love to pray for you. I would love to introduce you to Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, would you please stand and just worship this awesome God that we serve together.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
What a Savior. He's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, this morning we thank you that you call us. We ask you to continue to speak, that we would hear your voice, and that we would be a soul on fire for you, Lord. That we would go out with boldness and tell others that you are a wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name, thank you.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day.
Friends, before I send you out the blessing, if there's anything I can pray with you about or for you about, I'll be up front just for a little while, but please go with this blessing. My friends, Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Go forth and be witnesses for the King." Amen. Go in peace.
Don't forget that if